ladies and gentlemen.
Put on your listening ears.
You're thinking caps.
And a fresh pair of socks.
Coming to you live
from Area 51 and 3/4.
Here is...
Sorry.
We...
Tried.
That wasn't too bad.
That's the one. That's the one.
That might be fun. Is it at? Whoa.
Nice on. Nice on. Nice on.
I like how it's four of them.
I mean, it's really cool. Are we going to get sued for this?
We shouldn't.
I don't think so. We gotta change the nice on button so it's just one nice on and not three. We're gonna awkwardly sit and wait for it to finish.
I kinda like the bit of it being all three every single time.
All three takes of nice on every time.
This is the first episode that we've done in a minute that didn't have O Holy Night at the beginning.
Yeah, I know. That was our
You're
Christmas,
welcome.
Yeah.
We took it away.
You don't have to listen to it anymore.
Well, you didn't take it away.
I took it away.
I didn't show up for work, so...
Touché.
No, I guess we could have done it when we did the Punch Bowl episode, the Christmas Punch Bowl.
Oh, all the Christmas stuff had it.
All the Christmas stuff.
Oh,
had
you
it.
Put it in.
We just didn't play it.
Thank God, right? No. You can put it in at the end if you want, right? I just don't want to listen to it in real time.
No, that is legit one of my favorite Christmas traditions now, is I'll make my family listen to that, and I'll just cry laughing every time. But anyway, hello and welcome to Sorry We Tried. My name is Spencer, or frick, I messed up the intro. It's been so long since we've done one of these.
We're a little rusty.
As always, I am not your host, but I am the one who talks first. My name is Spencer. On the ones and twos, we have Harrison.
What is up?
And reigning proudly from the third chair, we have the artist formerly known as Robithan, Robbie.
Yep, that's me. Yeah.
So, hello and welcome, guys. It's our first episode of 2024 that we actually recorded in 2024 because... I guess the one that's technically our first episode is just the one about me ranting about the shift for 20 minutes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Full transparency, I zoned out through that entire 20-minute spiel about that movie.
No, you were very involved in it, actually.
Really? Well, then yeah. I was on autopilot.
You had lots of thoughts in the moment.
I'm not gonna lie, yeah, there was not a lot of interest in that movie.
No, it wasn't just that. We also talked about like the weird, obscure stuff. And
was that the one with the altar call? Okay, well, that part was kind of funny.
Then you pulled up the clip of the Kevin Sorbo altar call from Left Behind, and then you started reading the comments about how the dude said the Holy Spirit let him to go see it every night for like a week.
All right, maybe I was more involved than I thought I was.
Yeah,
he said something like I went and saw it 5 times or whatever. I was like, wow.
And then he said the Holy Spirit led him to start calling out and saying that this is gonna happen to you if you don't repent or something like that.
Oh man.
God.
Weird.
People are so weird. But anyway,
there's so many nutcases, dude.
That's the weird thing about YouTube comments too, is when people share personal anecdotes in YouTube comments, it's never something normal ever.
So we got, I was sitting at the office the other day and we have a group message for our location, and I get two pictures sent to our group message. Two pictures right here.
Is it like a card?
So they were pulling some baseboards at this job that we were working at. This house was built back in the 80s, and there was notes written on these baseboards from the guy that installed them.
That's not like a sentence. That's like a paragraph.
So apparently...
Is it a confession?
Apparently this guy was essentially using these baseboards as a diary as he was installing them.
Why?
I don't know. Would you do that?
You're not going to be able to read them again unless you rip up the baseboards.
And I don't think he lived at the house, honestly. I think he was just some contract worker.
That's creepiest.
Does he know how cheap paper is? Has anyone told him?
So
he's using the wrong wood product to write on.
How
dude.
About therapy, right? Baseboards aren't talking back to you, right? I mean, unless
but y'all they were. Unless, yeah. Y'all were talking about the YouTube comments, you know, like how it's so weird how people just put really personal stuff out in the ether.
Oh,
I think this guy would have been a YouTube commenter.
Okay.
So this
Can
is
you
from
read the letter.
This is from December 4th, 1980.
Oh, my God.
It says, to want a married woman is wrong.
No. No, he's not.
But it looks like I will never have a woman of my own. So why not have another man's wife as long as he doesn't know? I know it is a sin. Sin is underlined, by the way. But I can't help but wait any longer. I got to have a woman before I get any older. Why couldn't I have been a woman's man?
What was it? What was the date on it again?
December 4th, 1980.
Okay, all right. He's coming off of November.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he's coming he's down from the,
corner, the
high of November.
The corner towards Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm trying to follow his thought process here.
He said, "I don't like what is happening to me. I don't know why any women, except young girls, I don't know any women except young girls."
Okay.
My bad. All the women I know that are my age are married. It's hard being 27 and single. And then 5 days later.
I was going to assume this guy is dead now, but he's not. Probably.
5 days later, he wrote on another baseboard, the 9th of December, 1980. Well, I saw Diane Saturday while I was Christmas shopping. Christmas shopping at Todd's.
What?
I don't know what Todd's is, but he was Christmas shopping at Todd's.
Is that like at some dude's house? Like he's just in his house like, hey Todd, can I have this?
It says, I never thought I would. She is still beautiful as ever.
What was the date on this one?
This was December 9th, 1980.
Okay. Sorry, I had to Google the Pearl Harbor date.
A little bit off.
It was the 7th. Well, I mean, not the year. No, I don't think he's writing it the year of. I just meant maybe it was on the... I was like, did he write something on the anniversary? I don't know.
Okay, can we...
We're looking for connective tissue here, dude.
He's talking about lusting after a married woman. He wrote that on a baseboard in somebody's house and then installed it.
So my theory is that he had the hots for whoever's wife it was who was building
this house.
Yeah. Whatever renovations or construction they were doing.
That's creepy.
That's the impression that I got from
that.
That
is so creepy.
It's so weird. But I was sitting there and we were talking about it at the office. Like, this dude would definitely be like all over the internet in comment sections and stuff.
Did
just
you
like
keep the
talking
baseboards?
About stuff. I don't know if they did or not. I'll have to find out.
You should frame those in the office.
Right.
That's like,
but
that's
the weirdest thing ever.
I have never in my life heard of anybody doing that. That is a one of a kind artifact.
That was a first for me, and I've probably ripped apart over 150 homes, and I've never found anything like that. It's crazy.
Home wrecker.
This is the difference between you and me. If
I have
found
an axe in the wall, but I have never found baseboards with diary entries on them.
But like, if I found that would be sitting on my nightstand right now. But you were just like, oh, I don't know if they kept it. Like that infuriates me that you don't know where that is right now.
I was working in the office and then forgot about it later on.
I think the pictures were enough. I think you're taking it a little too hard.
But you know, I like the I collect the weird artifacts and the weird stuff like that.
We're gonna have you studied one day.
You won't like what they find.
We'll have your artifacts as reference.
But anyway, welcome to the 5th annual Grizzly Awards, everybody. What a preamble this
what
was.
What a way to start it.
The Cinco
preamble. So last time we did this, we spent a good bit reminiscing about 4 years of doing this podcast, and now we've done 5 years. This will be our 5th year.
That's insane.
Time
We're
flies.
So old, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
We are getting old.
I will say, though, I won't grandstand a little bit, or I won't grandstand too much because that's not what the Grizzly Awards are about. But I feel like this last year of content that we did was probably our best.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt.
The bar was relatively low, but yes, because we got consistent this year, and yeah. I think that was, and we put out like good consistent like 30-45 yeah. minutes at a time content this time.
Did we peter out towards the end of the year? Yeah, probably.
No, it doesn't matter.
I feel like there's some of my favorite memories of doing this show have been made sitting in Harrison's apartment, yeah. which is our last Harrison's yeah. apartment episode.
I was going to mention that.
Because we're about to move, so yeah. no more driving an hour into the middle of nowhere to go record.
We're all going to be in the same city, and 2/3 of us are going to be in the same house.
Yeah, so
fun.
Probably all three of us. You just don't know.
That's true.
Robbie's been writing messages on the baseboards that we didn't know about.
Yeah, you better start peeling them.
I knew there was a reason I accidentally ordered a bunk bed the other day.
Oh, yeah. No, but you reading off the names of the episodes we did just a few minutes ago, I mean, it didn't even occur to me that we had done as many as we actually ended up doing.
We went from episode 29 was the first one of the year, and then we stopped at 67.
Oh,
look at us. I was about to say, yeah.
We almost did 40 episodes a round of applause. Yeah. Heck yeah. There's 52,
clap.
There's 52 weeks in a year. We almost did one every single week.
Yeah, we missed a few weeks in there, but
yeah,
that's typical for us.
Progress, man. We're doing it.
At least a few of those weeks could be chalked up to me. So.
Touche.
We could probably go back and look in the group chat and see how many...
Well, we don't need to give. we don't need to set a numerical value here.
Okay. We should have.
We could just say that some of them, at least.
In our new little recording space, we should have like a whiteboard that says days since Robbie made us miss an episode.
Split the board in half. Put that on one half, and then be like days since blood spilt on the other half, or something ominous. Days until reckoning and countdown. Wipe one off.
I love it.
So anyway, the Grizzly Awards, in case you've never listened to one of these episodes before, and these generally perform pretty well.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. But
is it the buzzwords, you think?
Probably. But if you've never listened to one of these episodes before, every episode is somebody's first episode. If your first episode was most of the ones we did last year, I'm sorry. We're trying. This is our sort of answer to the terrible award shows that go on at the beginning of every year, where celebrities come out and grandstand for 5 hours and it's terrible. And
it's all political. None of it matters.
Yeah. None of the movies that get awards are the ones that anybody actually cares about. I made my brother watch the Ricky Gervais Golden Globes opening speech the other day, which is to date one of my favorite things to ever happen on television.
Good.
It's incredible. But that being said, we are not here to bore you. This is sort of our chance to reflect on not only the movies and TV shows and things that came out last year, but also just some of the weird things that happened that we just want to talk about. That's about it. Is there anything else anybody wants to add before we get into it?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess you can walk through the voting system. It's majority wins most of the time, unless we're all split.
Generally, we all have a different nominee.
Yeah,
true.
So, I mean, maybe this year we can try to convince each other and have to come up with a winner.
I'm down.
That's fine.
I'll do that, yeah. Did you send the doc in the chat recently?
Okay. I sent it like 30 minutes ago. But, I'll read off the list, or we can read off the list of nominees. We'll say who we think should win, and then we'll have to come to a conclusion, I guess.
It's going
to
make me sign into iCloud.
You're not signed into your iCloud?
No, Harrison, I'm not.
You know what's even funnier is we had the same problem last year, and I had to send 20 screenshots to Robbie.
Here.
Instead of...
I just hate the silent judgment from Tech Wiz
I
over
just
here.
Can't listen.
How do you not?
I know that everything's connected to your Alexa over here. Okay, all right. I still manually flip my light switches off. I'm sorry.
How do you not? Like, you have to use iCloud for your phone.
I don't understand how you use your phone without
it. I don't.
You can copy and paste that into a note, and it'll be easier to read. But there's the content.
I'll just. Oh,
doesn't include all the CGI pictures, right. though.
It's okay. I can imagine.
I'll send a PDF.
Probably seen most of them.
You have seen. I think maybe all but one. Because I don't know if you kept up with one of them, but it's fine. We'll go over
semantics. Yeah, it's not important.
Okay. So.
Problem solved. PDF.
2023 Grizzly Awards. Here we go. Right. Robbie, can you open that?
Yeah, probably.
There's a PDF of an. Oh, yeah, that's actually good. I like that.
It's probably much easier to read on your computer.
Well, most of these faces are from the same movie.
No right? spoilers, Robbie.
I didn't say what movies.
Okay, you want to just get right into it then?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll start as is tradition with the Best Movie of the Year award.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Robbie, do you want to read off the nominees for that?
Okay.
And the nominees are
Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Jesus Revolution, TMNT Mutant Mayhem, Godzilla Minus One, Blue Beetle, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. That did come out this year, didn't it?
Because it came out right the week before Barbie and Oppenheimer did.
Yeah. The Super Mario Bros. Movie, The Boy and the Heron. Is that the anime one?
That's the one with Robert Pattinson as the Freaky Birdman.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. And then Aquaman 2, the surprising sneak at the end, which I guess it's not really a sneak because you actually legitimately liked it.
Yeah,
so, cool.
Oh, this is hard. I didn't think about which one of these is my favorite.
I've got my answer already. And
I will
seen...
say, I think...
This is a really good year for movies, actually.
Yeah. I will say, I think as far as like the objective quality of a movie, Oppenheimer's definitely high up on the list.
I didn't put that one on there because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah. It's a fantastic film. But as all of Christopher Nolan's things are, it's a little overhyped. But it is a fantastic movie.
I was promised full frontal nudity from Cillian Murphy, so that's an automatic 5-point drop for me. It's a perfect 5 out of 10. It can sit right there next to Black Adam for all I care.
On the 5 out of 10 shelf.
What else? There's something else.
Adam. You said the Flash is perfect 5 out of 10.
I'd like to change that. Like a 4.
When we build a set, we need a bookshelf.
That's what I was going to say. We have a shelf full of just movies that are perfect 5s.
That's actually a great idea.
I think
that's
a really good bit.
We're looking for the most mid movie of all time. That's our ongoing quest. Actually, no. Why am I even hesitating? Who wants to say their nominee first?
I think I'm going to have to. And it may be a little bit of recency bias because I hadn't seen it until like last month or the month before. But I think that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was probably my favorite movie of the year. That story hit harder than any of the others for me, the story alone. But I will say I absolutely loved Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think that was great. And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies was so refreshing. But I think I might have to go Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 for my pick.
Yeah, so this is a hard thing.
It's so hard.
And I don't know.
I mean, even the Super Mario Bros. Movie was fun.
It was fun. I rewatched it a couple weeks ago, and it was I was so shocked when we saw it in theaters that it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
That I sort of overhyped it. It's perfectly fine. Like it's
fun. I haven't
seen
Godzilla Minus One, but I've heard it's really good.
Godzilla Minus One is stellar, and there is a black and they re-released it in black and white.
Oh, no way.
Like this week.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm probably gonna go see it again.
I'm gonna have to go see that.
But it is so good, and I don't really care about Godzilla that much, but that is the miraculous achievement in Godzilla Minus One, is that when Godzilla showed up to break the city, I was mad.
Really?
Like when Godzilla was wrecking the city and killing people, I was like, no, don't do that, because they make you actually care about the human characters,
nice.
Which they never freaking do in these Godzilla movies. You're always just like, get these guys off the screen. I want to see Godzilla again. Like Godzilla versus Kong. I rewatched that
And it's fun, but you watch it for the monsters.
Yeah, you watch it for the monsters. And Godzilla, when he shows up, like, he's cool. He's really menacing. He's, like, mean and evil. He's not, like, good Godzilla like they like to do now where he's, like, the hero. Like, he's straight up the villain. He's a monster. He's killing people.
Check it out.
It's so good.
I love that they're doing, like, the black and white thing and, like, the 3:4 aspect ratio, and they're doing some of those old school things when they re-release stuff now. It's very fun.
Yeah. But I think my nominee here is also Guardians Volume 3. It's amazing. Like
I've never cared so much for an animal character in a movie.
I saw that movie CGI multiple times in theaters and cried like a baby every time.
It's so good.
It's James Gunn is the weird thing here is Guardians 1 is great. I think Guardians 2 falls down a little bit. Like, it's still good, but I think it was too sort of silly. But the third one is just so... It nails the landing in every aspect. Like, I don't think there is a wasted character in that movie.
Not even a little.
It's just the jokes are better. The serious moments land better. The CGI is insane. Like, I don't understand... Like, the same company that put out Ant-Man 3 this year put that out this year. It doesn't even make any sense. James Gunn is just, he's a great director. And yeah. I think if one thing sold me on this whole new DC thing that he's doing, it's this movie. Because he's capable of some insane writing. Just incredible characters that you learn to love. Like, it's so good. And as much as I wanted to have Spider-Verse at the top of this list, I don't think that it is. And that's purely because it's not complete. And I think that the decision to split that up into two movies, while on paper, I like that because it gives us more. But I feel like this movie is not... It doesn't feel like... You know, even like a good part one or in part two situation, like it feels... Like there's a complete story in there. It feels like they took the what would normally be like the opening, like maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes or something like that of a superhero movie, stretched it out a lot. And then we only got to like the midpoint of where most of these superhero movies would end. And there's good parts of that. You get to see him sort of like vibing in his everyday life as Spider-Man, which we probably wouldn't get to see otherwise. But I just feel like story-wise, it's nowhere near as strong as the first one is, because it doesn't feel complete. And maybe when the second part comes out in 20 years, when they're finished making that, my opinion will change. But right now, I was disappointed by it, and I wanted to, because the first one is like my favorite movie of all time. So
good.
I don't like. I wanted to love it. I did, and I liked it. I thought it was good. I think it's still better than most movies that come out. But it let me down because I was hoping for a complete story. I knew it was gonna be part one, but I was hoping for a complete story here, and it felt like it wasn't. You know. But all that being said, Robbie, what's your nominee?
Yeah, I mean, so much for us arguing different choices to each other, because
is it
mine is also
yes.
And it was from the beginning. It's hard nowadays for me to walk away from a movie with any kind of feeling, but also to have like what was like I can only really describe as it was a lasting feeling.
Yeah.
And like even now I can. I remember enough about that movie that I remember how I felt. And I just feel like to come out of a movie feeling anything nowadays feels rare. I feel like I've come out of so many movies recently.
I left that one floored.
Completely numb.
Like, just completely dumbfounded by how that was.
Yeah. Like, for example, like, I mean, like, even if we are just staying in the superhero category and, like, stuff we just mentioned, like, I watched The Flash and I watched Black Adam, and it wasn't even that it was bad or good. I felt nothing, not a single thing, and I walked away from Guardians not only completely emotionally wrecked, which, you know, like I don't feel too much emotion in movies, just because I can in my brain like subconsciously disconnects some things. But this one I couldn't. Like, I mean, like, I was fully aware that I was watching a CGI raccoon, and it it didn't matter. It was,
and that's the magic of the writing, dude.
Just perfect from start to finish. And yeah, it's the first movie for me this year that completely lived up to its hype. I mean, yeah. Everyone was telling me how great it was. I was a little bit late to the party on it, but I watched it and I was like, yeah, they were right. I think everyone that talked to me about it still did it a disservice, because when I watched it, I was like, it's even better than you told me it was.
That final scene, so the dog days are over scene, like, even just thinking about that, I'm still tearing up right now.
That
like,
was,
it's... I cannot fathom how good that movie actually was. And it's hilarious that Marvel let James Gunn go.
I know.
It's amazing.
Especially
to
after
me.
That.
Yeah, like that, like, and there was a point in time when we were never going to get this either. And that's insane to me. Like, that we were never going to get to see the end of these characters. And that's just insane to me.
No, okay, so I don't know if this is stealing or not, but I did see, I saw a video, and I wish I could give credit to the people I saw the video about, but somebody came up with a theory that made a lot of sense to me about the overarching story of the third movie, and it was about the villain...
He's fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, by the way. Yeah. I don't know how you pronounce the actor's name, but he's also in Peacemaker, and he was really good in that too. And he's just a really good actor in general. But anyway, the high evolutionary, his whole goal is he's trying to make the perfect creature. That's right. His mm-hmm. whole thing. And no matter what, he cannot replicate what he made with Rocket, and he tries time and time again, and he can't do it no matter what. And a lot of people were comparing I mean these four guys I was watching talk about it, but they made the comparison that maybe James Gunn was insinuating that Kevin Feige could not replicate his formula of movies after he left, because I guess
if you think about it, a lot after Guardians, every MCU movie was trying to be Guardians.
And I feel like I've said this a million times until I'm blue in the face, you know, and like I've gone on the record multiple times saying that Guardians of the Galaxy, as good as it was, ruined a lot of the MCU. Didn't do it on purpose. It's not its fault. It was a good movie.
So well,
it's not James Gunn's fault.
It's
everyone else's fault for thinking that every movie after that had to be the Guardians of the Galaxy formula. Yeah. Because from that moment forward, the way that those movies were made, just the style of them, the way that things were delivered, the amount of jokes, just the generalized formula was the same. But it missed the magic of good writing, and it missed the magic that James Gunn can really only replicate himself.
Well, and I guess we're probably going to end up talking about this for way too long, but the magic of that movie to me is the fact that James Gunn took these characters who were not even C-listers, like complete unknowns.
Yep.
Uh-huh. No one, even like hardcore comic fans for the most part, did not know these guys, and built out these versions of them that are so iconic to our generation, you know, but also like he made, like, this is basically his original characters. The versions of these characters in these movies are almost nothing like the original comic book counterparts.
Now they've been changed. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, it's miraculous to me. Like, even just thinking back on the last, like the other two Guardians movies, I remember liking them when they came out. I remember loving them when they came out, but I never left them like emotionally wrecked. Like even Yondu dying in the second one, like I was just like, oh, that's a little sad.
But
this, like, it feels like he knew this was... Obviously, he knew this was the end of his time at Marvel, but it's like it feels like truly a special sort of event.
It's the same way like a finale.
The same way like an Infinity War felt like
absolutely.
I'm so glad that I saw that in theaters because it felt special. And most of the Marvel stuff that comes out now doesn't feel special. It doesn't feel like anyone making it cares.
Yeah.
But like every inch of the Guardians stuff, every inch of all these movies that James Gunn does, are like it's lovingly crafted. Even the movies, like even something like Guardians 2, which I thought it was okay. Like it's so lovingly crafted. Yeah. You see him as an artist through it. And I'm so glad that Kevin Feige just did not interfere with that at all and let him make the movie he wanted to make.
I'll leave it at this because we do have an entire list of things to get through. But yeah, I think you touched on it earlier. The one thing I took away from this movie more than anything, it was that I had complete confidence in James Gunn to make a Superman movie, walking away from that, which I did not have beforehand. Not that I necessarily doubted him. I had seen some
of because the other two Guardians movies are mostly comedic. Yeah.
But
this one, he really got to show off the serious sort of genuine emotion chops.
He was really good at the humanity of this movie, even in the non-human characters, just at their core. Mm-hmm. And at Superman's core, his humanity is the most important part of his character. And I watched it, I just remember thinking, he gets it. He's going to get it. You know, everything he said, everything he's done, and then making that incredible movie, at least Superman Legacy, I feel like it's in great hands. I don't know what the rest of these movies are going to look like with him overseeing them, but his direct involvement in this one, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, and absolutely. I know we do have to move on, but I just want to make a real quick note because we're not going to ever talk about this otherwise. But Jesus Revolution, Harrison, you saw that, didn't you?
I did not see that one. I heard it was very good, but I haven't seen it yet.
I would highly recommend that one as well.
Is it a sequel to Dance Dance Revolution?
Yes. Bingo. The lore is a little bit confusing on that one. Yep.
Yeah,
but
something about dancing on water or whatever.
And I mean, we started this episode off by ripping into a bunch of weird Christian stuff, but I feel like the genuine, like there's people out there in that Christian space who are trying to make actually trying to make great art. And I feel like Jesus Revolution was incredible. I cried like 3 or 4 times watching that. I consider myself a not super emotional person in the movies either, but I feel like that one was super, super well done. And I would highly recommend that one as well. But is there anything else on that list worth talking about? Mission Impossible was good, but sort of forgettable. When Fallout came out, like when I watched that, I walked away like, dang, that was a pretty good movie. And then this one I walked away, I was like, yeah, it was all right.
Just a quick note on the TMNT movie. That felt like such a breath of fresh air in the midst of the everybody trying to do the Spider-Verse thing after Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Well, it's the animation style is super cool because it's like they designed it after like this sort of like doodles and like notebook on like your sketch and your notebook at school. So like everything's like sort of off center and like weirdly angled. Like even like the manhole covers are like egg shaped and all scratchy looking. Like it's really creative.
Yeah, I've got to watch that movie.
It was a relatively small production company.
Yeah, it was a very small budget, very small company, and I'm glad that it was such a success because I want to keep saying. Obviously, the Ninja Turtles are like my thing. I know way too much about the lore, but I'm very glad that we got a good TMNT movie after the Michael Bay atrocities that were released into the world.
Yeah, and I had never heard or known much of the history behind the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the comics and stuff.
Oh, it's fascinating.
I was two guys that just started it on their own and whatnot.
Well, it was like a Daredevil parody. That's where the hand versus the foot and stuff like that.
And so it was really interesting because I had just learned a little bit about the history of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles right before watching this newest movie. And it very much felt like a kind of going back to the roots as far as like, you know, a smaller production team, quote unquote, lower budget, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's still being a quality film, a quality content that was able to rival anything else that came out. I thought that was fun.
I mean, that's, we probably should move on, but like, that's why that 1990 TMNT movie is just so special because it's like, it's made for a super low budget.
Yeah.
It's just got this energy to it that like, big budget schlock doesn't have. So
it's just really unique.
Yeah,
but I had a good time with that one. I thought it was great.
But anyway, coin flip, worst movie of the year. Harrison, you want to read these nominees?
Sure. The Flash, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, The Marvels, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania,
God,
The Shift, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
What a list.
I'm going to be real with
you. What a lineup.
I have only seen Shazam and Ant-Man on this list.
Well.
And everything else I have avoided like the plague.
I can go ahead and say what my nominee is. Yeah, actually, wait, no, I'm torn now. Okay, I'm going to share my thought process here because that's better content. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is horrific. Absolutely horrific in every way, shape, and form, but also The Flash exists. And I don't know how to how to reconcile which one of those is worse.
I figured for sure you'd be going back and forth between The Shift and The Flash.
The Shift sucks, but there were moments where I could tell that somebody involved was trying to do something good and they just didn't know how to write movies. The Flash is so creatively bankrupt and morally evil, too, with everything involved. The entire production of that movie, all the cameos, all the Ezra Miller, it's morally evil and creatively bankrupt. Ant-Man and the Wasp was just creatively bankrupt. Jonathan Majors. The morally evil is back. It's back into play.
Touché.
Robbie, what's your nominee here?
Yeah, so I've only seen about half of these two. I thought Ant-Man, it was
fine.
It was fine. Yeah. It exists to me. It's not as bad to me as everyone says it is. But
it
like,
was more mid to me than
I would
bad.
Never go out of my way to watch it again, don't get me wrong. But like it was just it's just another movie that kind of exists. Kind of like Ant-Man 2 to me.
Yeah.
Shazam, I'm actually gonna say something bold here. Shazam, I believe,
should have been on the best list.
No. But I do think it's very overhated. I would like to go on the record. I don't like Zachary Levi. I don't like him in this role.
But
I think
Shazam
that
is decent.
Asher Angel, who plays Billy Batson, is... You can tell he put a lot of love into this version of the character, uh-huh. but he only had so much screen time. And Zachary Levi just never even tried to pair up his version of the character with Asher's.
Never has, yeah.
And... I think, all things considered, though, I think the movie kept a lot of the spirit of the first movie, which
for
I don't
sure.
think it gets a lot of credit for. I think that there was a special... I don't know if special is the word, but there was a... It was just a very fun atmosphere in the first movie, and
I
think
that,
they recreated that.
What's his name that directed those movies?
David Sandberg.
I hope he gets a new DCU shot, because I feel like he genuinely is a good director, and for
he
a
does
while...
He does a good job with the story.
It's easy to forget, because there was a 17-million-year wait between those movies, but there was, like, when 2019, when Shazam came out, that was the hope for the DCEU.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, oh my god,
and
this is the
future.
Really
good when it came out, too.
Yeah. Because that was in a post Justice League world.
But yeah, it's The Flash, and here's where my argument comes in. I gave this movie a perfect 5 out of 10. Okay, all right. There are two movies up there. It's that and Black Adam, right? And I think that's my argument, is that it is the perfect 5 out of 10 movie, and that's almost more of a problem than if it was just bad. I think that the worst thing you can do coming out of a movie, and this is piggybacking off of what we said earlier, is feel nothing. And I came away from The Flash empty, hollow. I mean, not a single thought-provoking scene in that movie. Just a little bit of confusion and a lot of horror. And so it's like I had a lot of
thoughts provoked by that movie, and they were all angry.
I wish I could have been angry at it or something, but I watched it and I was like, I was, again, I hate to throw the word around too much, but it was numbing. It didn't do anything for me. That's why I think it's the worst. I think that movies should evoke some kind of emotion out of you. I think stories in general should.
Yeah,
and I think the writing was so bland. The characters were one-dimensional, and the only one that wasn't one-dimensional was
Michael
the most...
Keaton.
And that's another thing. It should be good at what it's advertising, and it's advertising a Flash movie. The problem here is that the best parts of these movies, or of this movie, is the Batman stuff. The Ben Affleck Batman stuff, and the Michael Keaton Batman stuff, and I think that's a huge problem too. But no, I'm gonna keep it shorter, because I could sit here and rant about it all day, obviously, but and like I said, I think it just boils down to I had no emotional reaction, and when I say emotional, I mean any kind of emotion at all to that movie, and I think that's a huge problem. So
yeah,
and Ezra Miller is a criminal. So I'll never stand down on that. It's a big problem.
Okay, well, I think you've convinced me to not nominate Ant-Man, but I have to mention that Indiana Jones was atrocious.
I'm about to take your word for that one.
So I love Indiana Jones.
Was it Temple of Doom level atrocious?
There, Temple of Doom is not boring. Whatever you want to say about Temple of Doom,
I got you.
I think it's annoying. I think it's frustrating. It's not boring.
Fair.
This, I literally felt my soul being sucked out of my body. And there's only one other movie that's ever done that to me, and it's Avatar 2, where it felt like that movie went on for a trillion years. Like, I got out of Avatar 2 and felt like I had lived a thousand lifetimes in that movie theater. And I was miserable. I felt sick. I don't know why. Like, Indiana Jones is just, it's so long. It's so boring. Harrison Ford is trying, but like everything else in the surrounding that movie is just, it's bland, it's hollow, but it's not like a, like you leave feeling like nothing. It's like you feel like you've had something stolen from you when you get out of that theater.
Did George Lucas do this one?
No, he's like, you know, he was on Epstein's Island, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was on the list.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
We don't got to talk about that. Yeah. But yeah, it was just bad. It was really bad. And I thought it was going to be great because the director of Logan made it.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't understand how you can make this, but it's because Disney spent $500 million on it for some reason and was probably creatively interfering the entire time. But yeah, it's The Flash. It's
Out
The Flash.
Out of principle, I also have to go Flash.
Cool. So that's
another
easy.
Unanimous.
Yeah.
Next time on Sorry We Tried.
I can't say it. It's a swear.
All right, biggest disappointment. An honorary mention, Spencer. Rest in piss, Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
These weren't just innocent bystanders. These were enemies who felt the wrath of God's backhand. When tough love must get even tougher, God's backhand. When evil plays rough, God can play rougher.